So in the Sermon on the Mount that comes from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about God's people as being this shining city on a hill. So maybe you've heard that phrase before, the city on the hill. Well, quite recently I heard about a large, pretty financially gifted Christian academy, which literally is located atop a hill. And that it is seen by many as being just that. It's sort of this shining Christian educational facility atop of a hill, a city with state-of-the-art facilities. And this, I heard they have a 1,000-gallon aquarium there. So evidently, after this building project had been completed, there was a meeting where someone was talking with the staff, and they said, "We know that you are not paid what you're worth. We know that you all could go somewhere else and get paid so much more, but you stay here because you're dedicated, and we really appreciate you, and we thank you." Well, one stunned staff member turned to the person sitting next to her and said, "Did he really just say that after bragging about a massive aquarium?" How many valued staffers could have gotten a raise for the cost of that? And I wonder if this is why some people say Christians are hypocrites. Wow, if those staff folks decide to pursue that point, do you think it might cause division? "Do you think I have come to bring peace?" Jesus asks. "No, I tell you, but rather division." Well, then Jesus says people have no trouble interpreting the signs of the weather because the weather affects their livelihood and their comfort. So they have no trouble with that, but they can't seem to figure out the signs that point to what God is calling them to. And Jesus says, "You're hypocrites." Well, now some of us might actually quite like this chapter, this passage in Luke 12, because it talks about judgment. And some say maybe we need to talk more about that in our society. And here Jesus seems to be dividing the bad people from the good people, and then he's going to lay this hellfire judgment on the bad people. So if we like this text, we probably have some bad people in mind that we figure Jesus is going to zap with that fiery judgment, because we're generally pretty sure it's not me. It's not going to be me. Well, then others of us may be embarrassed by this text. You know, we may say Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and yet he seems to be chucking peace right out the window and into that fiery sea of judgment. So does this somehow make not only Christians, but Jesus look hypocritical after all that talk about love and relationship? How are we to understand these images of fire and division and judgment? Here in Luke's gospel, of all places in Luke's gospel, which generally lifts up that beautiful image of Christ's peaceable kingdom. Well, let's consider fire. If we think about fire in the Bible, a lot of times we think of punishment in hell, such as in Revelation, where Satan and his army are thrown into the fire. Well, fire, though, in Scripture is often, and I'm sure you've heard of these images too, often a sign of God's presence. So here are two really well-known images. One is the pillar of fire that led the Israelites, of course, after they had been freed from Egypt. That pillar of fire led them. And then, of course, there's the tongues of fire that danced on the heads of the disciples with the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So those are images of fire that represent the presence of God. And then there's the refiner's fire. You've probably heard that image too. The refiner's fire, one such place we find it is in Malachi chapter 3. "He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify them and refine them like gold and silver." So the refiner's fire, also as well as the presence of God, that the refiner is turning these ordinary lumps of dirty metal into this gleaming, precious silver and gold. In fact, it is Jesus who is the refiner. And Jesus is not only the refiner, Jesus is the refining fire. Jesus is both through the example, by example, he's exposing the nasty impurities of human society and hearts. But then in sacrifice, as the sacrifice, he on the cross burns away those impurities. Burns away those impurities just like a refiner. Now, we're not immune to the heat of Christ's refining fire, but it won't consume us. It doesn't consume us, but it does change us. It helps us discern when and where division serves God's purpose for peace and justice. So in Christ, we know where division serves God's purpose for peace and justice. So now let's consider division. So as we heard with the children, it's not always a negative thing. And on a psychological level, we know that enmeshment and codependency are not healthy. For example, that would be like people who are not able to separate. We have to, you know, self-differentiate and have some kind of boundaries in order to live together well. But Jesus here isn't just talking about that psychological level. We know because he's speaking so passionately here about something that he really wants us to hear. He's adding that incendiary flair that he is so common, in fact, in his parables too. So Jesus speaks this way often in this hyperbole too, where he's really trying to get our attention and say that there are divisions that we should expect to arise. Expect to arise when the powers and principalities, in other words, the old order, when the old order is threatened by God's new order that comes in Christ. So the old order is that we cling to wealth and status and control in order to hide the fear and greed and guilt and shame and self-doubt and self-loathing that we never quite seem to be able to escape from, as hard as we try. And instead, this new order, which is inaugurated by Christ, is mercy, forgiveness, healing, love, peace, all these things that free us from that shame and guilt that we fear, that we feel. Jesus here so urgently demands that we see the difference, that we see the difference between the path of fear and hate, and the path of trust and love. That we see there is this difference, and that we ourselves, not just some group of bad people that we might judge are the bad ones, but that we ourselves, when we are seduced by the way of fear, we will be tempted, just like Jesus was tempted for 40 days in the desert, we will be tempted to turn away from the path of love. And judgment will be God's. Judgment is God's alone. So yes, let's talk about judgment. This text is indeed about judgment. God has judged us sinners. We fail to trust God. We don't live justly. We hurt each other in God's good earth. But the good news is that God's justice is Christ. God's justice is the Christ. In Christ, God simultaneously judges us and purifies us. Think of that. In Christ, God simultaneously judges us and purifies us. Christ truly is that refining fire that burns away our fear and guilt and greed and shame and self-doubt and self-loathing and makes us instead shiny, pure people with that life-saving, world-changing love of God in Christ. Think of it this way. When divisions arise, people are presented with a choice. when God's people faithfully live counter to the old order culture, they live counter culture to the society and world, and instead live out Christ's world-changing love, the choice between those two paths becomes visible. So, for example, division arises, a choice is presented when we are able to name hypocrisy or speak out for justice. Which way will we choose? It's not difficult for me to imagine the kind of pushback that might occur at that Christian school I had been told about if the staff decides to wonder aloud whether building a, you know, shining city on a hill is really about flashy facilities or about shiny people. People who are illuminating the love of Christ in how they live and care for one another. So how are we interpreting the signs in our time and place? How are we dividing not to conquer, except that we are dividing to conquer fear and hate by illuminating love and peace, the way of Christ? How are we following the way of love and trust? How are we following as that great cloud of witnesses we heard about in Hebrews, all those ancestors in the faith before us, how they followed? How are we following the way of Christ? How are we following the way of the cross so that we help conquer fear and hate and instead illuminate the way of the love that comes from Christ? Amen.